slip right out of the paws of that hunter?
He's ready to rock, man. I love this show, man. I'm telling you, there's nothing better than Millionaire Smackdown.
That's great. Well, hey, Doug, let you know, though, that we are actually live. We won't actually officially start for about another 2.5-3 minutes, but
that's
we're
fine.
Actually live.
In other words, play nice.
You can play nice if you want to. But we got to wait for the hunter to get here, and, you know, maybe he heard that the animals were getting back at him and didn't want to play, so.
That's right.
We'll figure it out.
So, hey, guys, does the sound quality sound okay?
It sounds fine to me. How do I sound to you?
Sounds good.
Chris, what do you think? Chris in Florida? Chris in Florida is out to lunch. Okay.
Chris in Florida checked out.
He checked out, man.
I went and got a headset.
Oh, good for you.
And came into the office, because typically I do these on my cell phones, but I was told that it's better to do it on a landline.
It is absolutely better, and actually I have a headset too, but I'm about to switch it over here in just a second.
You're not doing headsets anymore?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, my my voice quality, for some reason, I can hear you guys all the time just fine, but for some
That's
reason...
Right, you come out weaker.
Through, I come out weaker, so we actually go to do this thing. I'll do it that way instead. So we'll make it happen. Let me actually go to Millionaire Smackdown and make sure we're live and working.
You guys are recording, right?
Yeah, we will be in a second.
So, Doug, did you check out the website?
I did. I'm digging it.
Did you like your picture?
I love my picture.
You have Mike Warren to thank for that one.
Thanks, buddy.
Anything
well,
else?
Before we go on, I'm going to walk in the other room and see what the distance is like on this and how it sounds.
What, in a mobile home?
Yeah, I'm actually in the I am in a mobile home right now.
Oh, that's
all right.
This is Command Central of the Mobile Home Millionaire Empire.
In the mobile home. So you're gonna go
Central.
See if the you're gonna go see if the metal's gonna let you talk through the doesn't
Uh-oh.
Mess up your call, right?
Uh-oh.
That sounds like Hunter. Hunter
on the line.
We got the hunter and he's ready to hunt down the otter, man.
Oh boy. I'm
so Hunter,
you.
what's the weapon of choice today?
The weapon of choice?
Mm-hmm.
Just information and knowledge.
There you go.
Information and knowledge. Who's on the call already?
We're all on the call. We were just waiting for you. Just give us a minute. We will be. Mike Warren will give the start, and once he does, everything will be recorded. We got the Millionaire Smackdown faithful listening, and
mm-hmm.
I'm glad that you guys are definitely going to deliver. I could already hear that you guys are ready to rock.
This page is awesome. Did you see that, Hunter?
I did the tape.
No,
the hunter and the otter.
Oh yeah. Oh, I saw the pictures of the gun and the otter. I didn't see anything else.
That is just too. That's just precious.
That's all you need, man.
I want to put that on my website.
Yeah, we got the best copywriters in the business. So we're going to be recording in just a second. Mike Warren's going to give us – once Mike Warren starts, people are listening to this right now, but once Mike Warren gives us the start, he will start it off in about a few seconds, I believe.
Yep, just
yeah.
A couple more seconds. We'll be rocking and rolling. We actually have 30 seconds to make sure everybody gets a chance to get on. Don't want them to miss anything. So.
Yeah, I love the graphics.
Logging in. What's that?
Are we doing any bios, or you know any information about either one of us, or you getting building up? Or,
well, you know, what I don't know, I'll just make up, so don't worry.
Yeah, this is all about the action here. You know, the bios will come out while you guys are talking. People want to see the hunter go after the otter, and then the otter bite the hunter, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
It should be good.
I got otters in my backyard, man.
Do you?
We're everywhere. Those are my homies watching you, bro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's watching me, huh? Yeah, I saw a couple of them across the street the other day.
You've been giving me intel all day.
Yeah,
all right,
there you go.
Guys, we're ready to rock and roll. You ready?
Yeah, man.
All systems
okay.
go.
So
Everybody, I'd like to welcome you to tonight's episode of Millionaire Smackdown, the only site on the internet where we give you the real stuff, no fluff, no big sales pitch. We actually get some real live debate. And tonight, we are going to have a fun call. We have the Hunter Pascal, with the Otter, Doug Otterberg, going at it head-to-head. The Hunter, oh boy, I tell you, he's already ready to start skinning and making a new fur coat. And the Otter, he's like, man, it's time for the animals to fight back. So, Hunter, are you there? Just say hi.
Yeah, I'm here. Welcome. Thank you for having me on the call.
Hey, thanks for being on the call. And Doug the Otter, are you there?
I'm here.
Cool. And Chris, my partner in crime in Florida, you there?
I'm here enjoying every second of this, let me tell you.
This will be a great call. So I want to welcome everybody to the call this night. So let's just kind of jump into this. Hunter, I was talking with Doug the Otter, and he was saying that you guys who do all these short sale things, you guys are just a flash in the pants kind of thing, and you're going to be out of business and lose money within a year. What do you say to that?
Flash in the pants kind of thing. Listen to that. Flash in the pants. I can tell you, in a year, it's going to be so fulfilling of foreclosures that are going on in the market. There's 2.5 million people by the end of 2009, according to Lehman and Brothers, that they're going to be 2.5 million properties in foreclosure. So it's not going to be no flash in the pants, no, by no means. It's going to be there for a long time. We're here for the long haul. I'm actually sitting in a big room right now that we're going to be filling up tomorrow with about 60 to 70 people come to learn how to do this flash pan kind of things that the Otter's talking about.
Hmm. Well, have you ever actually lived in a mobile home, Hunter?
You know what? If you go on my bio, I'm known from the million-dollar, from mobile homes to million-dollar homes. And there was the one thing that I figured out. You know what? I can make a hell of a lot more money on a million-dollar home than I could a mobile home. And I do have mobile homes, and I did live in a mobile home, come to think of it, when I was poor and broke and couldn't afford a room. I actually rented from a guy I rented a room from this guy, one of my good friends that's still around, that, I did live in a mobile home park.
Well,
I sure did.
Can you give us a little bit more about your background? Tell everybody who doesn't know who you are, what your specialty is, and why they should be listening to you to begin with.
Yeah, my name's Hunter Pascal. I'm calling in from Orlando, Florida, born and raised and bred right here in Orlando, Florida, in the mobile home state. I can tell you, I've been in real estate now since 1997 full-time. I used to be an automotive parts salesperson for a family business, and found myself in foreclosure in 1989, bailed myself out just by the skin of my teeth, and figured, man, that was a tough road to hoe. You know, nobody to help me and nobody to turn to. Then finally figured out that, you know, real estate was been something I've been wanting to do for a long time. And I finally got away from the family business up 20 years, making $300 a week bring home, working 12 to 15 hours a day. That was my income, you know. And I looked at my father one day and said, you know what, this is crazy. What the heck am I doing here? And my first deal that I negotiated on, I made $43,000 net income on my first deal. I left my father's business in 1996 after giving him, you know, multiple chances to me to hire somebody. Not to come to find out, 2 years later, his home was in foreclosure in 1999. After I completely left in 97, his home was in foreclosure in 1999. I saved. He came to me 5 days before the sale. I stopped the sale with the knowledge I'd learned at that time, being a full-time investor then, and stopped the sale, saved their $50,000 to $60,000 in equity, relocated them, and now they're sitting, you know, they don't have to worry about their payments now on anything. So that's what I've done. And I've done from, like I said earlier, from mobile homes to million-dollar homes. I can tell you, million-dollar homes, short sales, foreclosures is the way to go. 2004, when I met Doug, I was working on foreclosures, and I didn't realize Doug was actually, I don't remember if Doug was the Otter was in the mobile home business at that time. I really can't tell you. We actually roomed together, and I can't believe he's still doing mobile home.
Doug, you got anything to say to that? He can't believe you're still doing this stuff. But you make, from what I understand, from the mobile home industry, you can make 40-50% per year on your money.
Yeah, it all comes down to, you know, when you don't have a lot of education, you got to use your brain, you know. So, Hunter, I want to tell you something. You've got the right to remain silent tonight. Anything you say will be misquoted and used against you, okay? Yeah, you know, it just depends on what you're getting into real estate investing for. You know, I bought the dream of buying my freedom so I didn't have to work, you know, so money would work for me instead of me having to work for it. And you're absolutely right. I think that was Mike that made the comment. You know, when we put money out on the street, it works so I don't have to. And on average, yeah, we make about 40-50% return on, you know, every dollar we put out there without breaking a sweat.
Well, so should, you know, Doug, this is Mike Warren in Colorado again. So should people be doing mobile homes or should they be doing short sales? You know, you got the hunter over there. He's ready to skin you and say, you know, you don't know what you're doing. You're doing mobile homes, and he's saying you should be doing short sales. What's your take on it?
Well, I was thinking about it today. You know, another way of saying short is small, dumpy, and undersized. And
short, small, dumpy, and undersized.
Kind of, you know, like
those.
Your
income's on one deal.
And it depends on what you're doing, you know. There are some areas of the country where there's not a lot of volume. You know, in order to get to do short sales and make good money, yeah, you might be able to make $40,000-$50,000 on one deal. But if you're not in a market that has a lot of turnover, you know, I live in an area where I think the total number of houses sold last year was less than 300. And so just looking at that, it's like, hey, you know, what fits into where I live? And got to tell you, in most areas of the country, what fits in is the kind of housing that most people need, and that's affordable.
Now, Doug, this is Chris Kremitzos from Tampa, Florida. My question to you is this. Do you feel that for a beginner, getting started with mobile homes is a lot easier than getting into the short sale process?
You know, absolutely. It's got to be. First and foremost, you know, regardless of what you're doing in investing, you got to learn that it's a people business. And when you start investing with mobile homes, you don't really need to know a whole lot. You don't need much cash. You don't need much credit. And, in fact, most people, myself included, got started with a credit card, you know, literally. It just depending, you know, to do a short sell, you do got to learn. You got to have the connections in place already because, you know, what are you going to do if you get one? You got to come up with that $1 million in cash. How are you going to do that?
No, you don't. And I heard you talking about, I just heard what you said, Doug. Let me rephrase what you just said. In mobile homes, you don't have to have any education. You don't have to have any money. In mobile homes, that's what there is. There is. Look at mobile homes. There's no wheels on those things. They don't, and the people in them don't have any education, and they don't have any money. That's why they're stuck there, and that's why they're there. How can you tell me that you can make money on mobile homes when you can't even get people to buy them? They can't even afford to buy them. And you said you make 40 to 50% on your money. What the heck does a mobile home cost?
All day long.
$2,000. So you make another, what do you make on $1,000 when you purchase $2,000?
Depends on, you know, our typical cookie cutter deal every single month, we do it 3 to 5 times a month, is we put $15,000 into one and sell it for 25. We make about 10. So, you know, 40 grand a pop a month. And the best part about it, that's in cash. See, one of the things that most people don't understand is when you do one short sale, whatever the amount of work that went into that short sale is, you get one payday. Now, it might be a big payday, but how many of those big paydays do you get unless you're working a ton of hours? You know, I've got kids. I got a family. I got a life. There's things that I like to do. The best part about the way I teach people to do mobile homes is once we do sell it, and believe it or not, you know, there are, regardless of what Hunter thinks, there are a lot of people looking for that affordability factor, and we provide it for them. And the best thing is even though we get the cash, we don't really even care to get that much cash. We're looking for the financing. We want those monthly payments coming in here. And that's the difference. We set up our whole business for cash flow as opposed to cash now.
Where do you get the people that are going to invest in a mobile home? Don't they laugh at you when you're coming and talk and say, hey, I'm going to take this money and invest in this mobile home, this four box? I live, remember now, in the mobile home state capital of Florida, where there's people dying in these things, and they come down here and they retire from up north. They come down and they pay for these things in cash. That's the only way you can get financing on these things. So
exactly.
How many investors or people come in and buy them? Now, foreclosures, short sales, you don't have to use a cent of your money. You negotiate the debt, and we teach you, and we can get these deals done within 45 to 90 days. Now, not all of them are done that, but we do get those done that quickly. I have checks and students are showing completely how quick they can get these things done. We negotiate the debt. You know, negotiating is just like growing up in life. You know, who's the first person you negotiated with when you started growing up? Was your parents. You know, when your parents told you no, did you stop and say, okay, I won't do it no more? Did you try to go around them? If you were like me, you tried to find another way to negotiate to get around them. And that's all it is, working with the banks, just negotiating with the banks. When they tell you no, you don't lay down and roll over. You show them some documents and show them why they should accept this lower amount. And you're talking about affordable. Foreclosures are so affordable now. We're selling these things. We had 6 closings last month. The minimum check was $30,000. The minimum check was $30,000 last month. And those were affordable homes, and people paying cash for those too, and mortgages. So we have.
And how many clients did you have to go through to find 6 that qualified to get those?
So you mean you're talking about the finance?
Yes.
The finance. We have an auction. We have an auction on the property. We run about 13, 14 people through an auction on the weekend. That's a minimum. And we have about 2 or 3 auctions a week. And if you're saying that, 2 or 3 auctions in a month, and you have that many people come through, you only need one.
Yeah, but how many people? Whose mercy are you at? Are you at the bank or the lender's mercy, whether or not you can sell your deal?
No, we're not at the bank and lender's mercy, because here's why. We're getting them such a deep discount. We just sold one. We sold one for $245,000. The thing sold for, appraised for $280,000. We're not having any problems getting these things financed. We're selling so far below the market value. Banks are jumping all over these things.
See, and that's the thing that in a lot of areas, you asked about investors, why they laugh at you. You know, we took our portfolio, we took our system to a local bank, and we sat down with the commercial lender, and he looks at what we're doing. He goes, "This is pretty dang smart." In fact, you know, there's a lot of banks out there right now that they get cut off. They will not lend on real estate. And
let me jump in for a second.
Yeah, go ahead,
Mike Warren in Colorado. Hey, I got an email from a gentleman named James Vincent out of Richmond, Virginia here. And his email says that he does both short sales and he does some mobile homes up where he's at, but he doesn't like short sales because he'll do, you know, he'll have 10 deals. He says he gets 10 deals in the works, and he's lucky if he gets 1 or 2 closed, and it drives him nuts because he's spinning his wheel doing all this stuff, and, well, he's not happy. So, Hunter,
James,
what do you got to say about that?
James Benson needs to come on down. I'm sitting in a room right now, like I said, with 100 chairs here. We're going to fill 65 to 75. If we don't push the 100 to come down on a 3-day training we're doing tomorrow here in Orlando, Florida, tell Mr. Benson he can come on down, and we'll show him exactly how to do it. We'll show him how to do the BPOs, because if you don't know the process, you have to have the education. I heard Doug say earlier that you don't have to have a whole lot of education. Well, you know, education is where it is. You do have to have a little knowledge about what you're doing. Even if it's buying mobile homes. I've bought many mobile homes. I own mobile homes. I can't stand them things. What is it? Tenants, toilets, trailers, and trash.
That's a 14.
And I can tell you, that's it. And tell James that whatever he's doing, whoever he's learned from, if he's taking any training, he needs to learn from the experts that are doing it.
A guy that thinks Sherlock Holmes is a housing project in Biloxi.
Sherlock Holmes is a housing project. Yeah, like I said.
Well,
the
other part of James' email here, he says he's doing like Hunter. He's not making 40-50%, but he's making 30-35% on his money. He's happy with that. And the follow-up question he has is, why should he be doing short sales over mobile homes? And, Doug, I'm pretty sure you'll agree, or I think you will. What do you think, Doug?
You know, there's a couple of different strategies out there, and one of the things that I like as an investor is control. I don't want any loss mitigator telling me what I can and can't do. I don't want to have to meet somebody out there and rack my brain trying to figure out how I'm going to get this house that's worth X to be worth X minus $50,000 so that I can turn around and sell it and make a buck. What I like to do is be able to go out, buy these houses for a price, again, that I negotiate on, but that's still fair to the person selling it, and turn around and be able to choose who I'm going to sell it to. I do all the financing. I'm the loan committee, and we are the bank. And one of the great things about that is it's like, okay, yeah, if you have $50,000 to invest, whether you're doing a short sale or a wholesale, wouldn't it make more sense to put that out in 5 different deals instead of one? Because if you got one deal that goes down, it could wipe you out. But if you've got five deals out there chugging along, you've spread your risk out and less likelihood of something going bad. So we like to spread the risk around.
Big key I just heard, risk, and that is risk. You're right, risk muscle. Foreclosures, short sales, you don't use any of your money, so there's no risk. You're not putting any money out there. That's what is a misconception. And the other misconception is that when you're talking to a mitigator, it's not racking your brain and beating up the mitigator. The mitigator has the same outcome, wants the same outcome as you. You just have to provide it, and you have to have the knowledge, again, the training and the understanding of that. We have bank mitigators, ex-bank mitigators we've hired out of the bank on our team negotiating debt. You know, I've done negotiating. Kimberly, my partner, has done negotiating and real estate and the foreclosures. But we've hired somebody else to take that out. That's what he does. He used to negotiate 400 deals at one time. We're doing about 200 deals right now. None of our money. You know, we don't have any money out there. So there is no risk, zero risk in short sales. You fund the thing. You put some signs in the yard. You put some auction signs out. People flock to there. Oh, yeah, it's a bank-owned or bank sale. And people start seeing that. They get their greed glands start growing. And I tell you, the misconception of using your own money, you don't need any money in short sales. That's why there's no risk there.
Well, Doug, this is Chris from Tampa. I have a question for you. When it comes to mobile homes, I want to play the other end of mobile homes.
Sure.
Isn't there a lot more management, heavy intensive management in managing your mobile homes? In other words, you have to be on top of it. They're going to,
You might think that, but that would be from an inexperienced operator. You see, the whole point about, think about this, whether it's real estate law or personal property law, who are the laws written to protect? The lenders. The lenders own the property. Who are you really working for? You're working for the lender. When the toilet backs up, do you call the lender and say, come fix it? No. That's why I don't own and I don't rent. I buy, sell, and finance. So when somebody has a problem with their home, okay, fix it. They don't even call me, because why would you call the bank? So first of all, we solve that challenge by not renting. We don't own. We only finance. The second thing is, which is we haven't even talked about tonight, the real key, our million-dollar properties are properties that are called mobile home parks, land lease communities. I mean, you talk about owning a business that practically runs itself and throws off tens of thousands of dollars of passive cash each and every month. We've got the best of both worlds. Very little management taking place.
What about the values of the mobile homes? You're talking about these parks. What about the values of the mobile homes? I mean, I know the whole industry itself and the real estate industry, the market, the housing market, is all at an all-time low right now and declining so fast. What are your mobile homes doing?
You know, and that's the beauty about the mobile home business, the way that we do it, because we don't need to rely on making money with appreciation, and really neither do our clients, and I'll tell you why. Because when we buy a house, just like y'all do, we buy a lot of houses that have been foreclosed on, so we're paying a wholesale price for cash. We turn around, we sell it at a fair profit to one of our customers, and quite often, think about this. Most investors only have one or two tricks in their toolbox. Yeah, we buy houses, we buy land, we buy other kinds of investments as well. Mobile homes are really, Chris and Mike, kind of like training wheels for your clients. We train them how to make payments. And one of the things that we like to do is we think of it as a conveyor belt. We put somebody on that conveyor belt, and they're going to be with us for the next 7 to 10 years. And when it comes time to sell that mobile home, who's going to give them top dollar for it and help them use that as a down payment to get into their next house? We are. You are.
You are. You're going to give them what?
You're going cha-ching.
To give them, if a mobile home's only worth $4,000 and you sell it for $4,000, what are you going to give them when they move out? $2,000, you're going to give them 50%, so now you got to start all over.
Depends on where you're living at. Some people don't live in areas where there's $4,000 mobile homes.
Oh, so you're saying there's million-dollar mobile homes or there's $50,000 mobile homes?
All the way up, and absolutely. There are million-dollar mobile homes. A little place called Malibu, California.
Yeah, I've seen that mobile home show on TV, mobile home, million-dollar mobile homes on TV one night late when I was, you know, trying to rest up from the big check that I'd cashed that day probably from doing a multi-million-dollar home and looking and seeing, well, how many of them suckers would I buy? And I saw this, and I could not fathom get spinning, you know, a hurricane or tornado comes through, and the next thing you know, your home's gone, you know, and that's another thing with mobile homes. I mean, how safe are those mobile homes? How secure are those mobile homes? To me, the ones I've seen and I've been around in, the parks I've been around in, don't look too safe and secure to me. So my product's going to be a lot superior to the mobile home selling it. Like you said earlier, you said begging the bank to take your properties and make a loan. Again, we have no challenge of selling properties. And, again, it's a secure investment, and that's what people and banks are really getting on board. When they see $1 million home selling for $600,000 and they look at it and say, wow, and then they send their appraisers out and they appraise for $800,000, those loans are going to get taken care of quickly. And tell you, in my state anyway, that I, you know, people are moving in here, flocking in here all the time to move into these properties that are way discounted. We talk to people from upstate, mobile home states or whatever, wherever they're selling, and coming down here buying stuff from us all over, UK, everywhere.
Well, I got to tell you, you should never underestimate the power of stupid people in large groups.
What is, Doug, why don't you elaborate on that thought? What is that supposed to allude to?
Well, you know, we have the reason we have million-dollar houses selling for $600,000 is the power of stupid people in large groups. I just read today, just like, you know, we're talking about this wave of foreclosures. Why? How did that happen? You know, nationwide, housing prices have dropped at least 7.6%. Let's see, close to Fort Myers, Cape Coral, they're down 33%. How in the heck does something that's worth $178,000 go up to $266,000? It was because stupid lenders made stupid loans to stupid people, and now everyone's paying the price. What's wrong with having a piece of property that's worth something, you put your money into it, you pay it off, and then you get at least what you got into it out when you move on to your next home? I don't get it.
Yeah,
Hunter?
It's very simple. Do you have a question or do you want me to remark to that?
No, I just want you, I know you're going to answer that.
Yeah, I mean, stupid people, stupid thing, that's all over the place. And unfortunately, you know, that's what world goes around. If you take all the money in the world and you spread it out and you just threw it out all over the nation, you know, the people who are smart are going to have that money back within 5 years. So all those people are going to have that money. And so it doesn't matter who did what or what did what or who's blaming who. There's a lot of finger pointing. There's a lot of banks, a lot of meltdown going on. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that was easy to purchase. They moved out of mobile homes and tried to get into another big house. And unfortunately, those stupid people couldn't figure out that, you know what, their mobile home payment will always be low, but the house payment, the mortgage that they got into was going to inflate or it's going to triple after the 5-1 or 3-1 ARM that they had. Which is really all, that's why a lot of these foreclosures are going on. And the fact that the market rose so quick, I mean, I'm sure mobile home prices went up a little bit when the market went up. So homes doubled, and now it's correcting, and it happens every 10 years. So, I mean, it's a 10-year span. That's what's going on. So, yeah, you know, that's great. Hunter didn't go out and buy those properties. I didn't do no speculating buying because I was doing short sales. I knew the time was coming when it was going to be the best time to buy. And now we're taking our money and shorting these properties when we're funding the ones we want to keep and save and cash flowing, and we're selling the other ones off wholesale to people or retail even at this point. We got people begging for these, in line for a lot of these properties that we have available, just waiting for us to get the number from the bank.
Now, Hunter, Chris from Tampa, your strategy, the short sale strategy, can that strategy be used as a long-term cash flow strategy the way Doug is using the mobile home strategy?
Here's what we do. Here's what we do, Chris. What we do is, here's what I do personally, and I teach people that want cash. When they want cash flow, they got to turn the properties. And long-term hold, here's what Hunter does. Hunter controls the property. I get a deed on a property, and I control that property. I get a short on that property, like a property I got right now in Winter Park, one of the nicest areas in the suburb of Orlando. Winter Park, Florida, everybody wants to live there. It's a up and coming and cleaning up and areas where this property is, and it's a really nice area. It sold for $620,000. I got it shorted to $255,000. I called my banker. I said, hey, Mr. Banker, I've owned this property for 6 months, because that's probably how long it took me to get through the start to finish to the bank to get this one done because of the big discount that I got. I said, I want to refi this property. Can you refi this property in my company's name? Sure we can. What's the appraisal? Appraise it $520,000. I got it for $255,000. I do a reappraisal. I can cash out on that deal if I chose to, but I got a tenant paying $2,000 a month in there, so I just want to pay off the bank, pay off the old note, and I can do that. I own the property. Somebody else owned the note. I shorted the note, but I control the property. The bank sees that. I bring in the letter, the payoff letter to the title company. We fund the deal. I'm cash flowing.
So, Doug, what is your take on that? Because he's cash flowing on his short sales. Can't he just do that and build a whole portfolio?
Absolutely, you could. And again, it comes down
to... Or is it easier to buy a mobile home park or get into the mobile homes and basically, like you said, you do a land lease or basically you rent the land?
Yeah, again, you got one property, cash flowing, $2,000 a month. How many people out there can afford to pay $2,000 a month? I have a monthly mortgage here of about, on my park, of about $7,000 a month, but I got 40 people, but probably closer to 80, that get up every day to go get a paycheck. So what are the likely...
You only have 20 mobile homes in there, right?
No, we got 42.
20 mobile homes. You said you had 80 people, so it's probably only 20 mobile homes.
It's 42 sites. 42
so
sites.
One mobile home or
catch
what?
On to it. Hey, I used to rent a room. I used to rent a room in a mobile home park from a guy. So you know, there was three of us in this one room. So I'm saying you got 80 people. You said.
Come on, Hunter. Subdivision is not a math problem. Okay, listen up. Okay, come on. 40 houses. Two adults in each house with their kids. We probably have, let's say, 80 adults around there. They go to work every day. So what are the chances of all 80 of them not having a job? You know, when you got one house with one tenant, when they lose their job or they move out, you got to find one other person. Again, we like spreading our risk out over a lot of people. We like it. Just as a matter of fact, just today I came into the office and my wife was sitting here at her desk. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I got to process these payments. And she took one of those tubs that you get from the mailman, and she poured it out all over her desk. In fact, I turned on my camera so I could get a picture of that. But, you know, it's kind of cool to have all those checks coming in. It's kind of a good, secure feeling knowing that you're going to make your mortgage and payment, and they're going to pay off these properties for us so we don't have to do it.
Now, Hunter,
Doug, where are you getting the money, Doug, to do 40 or 50 or 60 or all these mobile? Where are you having to get the money from yourself? Are you using your own cash?
When we first started, I didn't have any money, and so we borrowed money from private lenders. And the neat thing about it is once you sell it and you create that income paper, your exposure is for that monthly payment. So like, if I borrow on a mobile home, monthly payment might be $200-$300 a month. Well, as we start doing two or three deals a month, pretty soon we've got enough spread coming in so that if three or four people don't make their payment, we still have enough cash to cover it. So the big thing that we've done in order to finance our business, yeah, I don't have very much money involved in this business now. I am at a point where we do some self-funding. But I'm also at a point where I've got private lenders calling me up saying, how come you're not calling me with deals? I got a couple $100,000 that I want to invest with you, Doug, because you know I'm getting 2-3% down at the bank, and you can put me in and pay me 10-12% secured by an income-producing asset.
Well,
so that's how we fund our business.
Yeah, I guess it's a different end of the spectrum, you know. I had a guy come in today. We put a sign up in front of a house. We just negotiated. This actually happened, I believe, in 40 days. We had a property. It's waterfront property on a lake. The property is in pretty rough shape. We negotiated. We did the inspection. I met out with the appraiser because it was real close to the office. I just wanted to get out of the office and go hang out. I love doing BPOs. I've got some videos, actually. I'm going to show our students tomorrow videos of how to do a correct BPO, because if you don't know how to do a BPO with a bank, then you're missing the check. You're missing the big check, and that's the whole key, one of the biggest keys to short sales and foreclosures. I had a guy come in today. We had a property at 242 before we knew what the bank was even going to accept. We're already negotiating with the bank. We got signs out in the yard, waterfront property, must sell this week, bank foreclosure. People are coming in there. We put waterfront up there. People are coming, looking at the property. We had a few other people last week. We changed our marketing sign. Again, we put waterfront up there. We got three people knocking the door down to put in. I had a guy come in today, $230,000 cash. We got a net to the bank at $191. That's what we have to pay the bank. That $230 pays that $191. We do not take a dollar out of our pocket. And that's what's there's no risk involved in what we're doing, controlling that property. This guy is going to be cash. There's more cash out there right now. And this gentleman sat in my office today and told me, he says, Hunter, I don't know about the stock market. He goes, but I know what. I know this real estate market is going to come back. And what you're doing in the foreclosure business, you must have a lot of knowledge because I see that you've got a lot of marketing pieces out there. And you're really doing a good job, and I can see why. And he asked me why, and I told him the same thing I said earlier on this call, because I was in foreclosure. I understand what people go through, the process, the mental anguish, everything they're going on. So I can be compassionate with those people. That's why I get the deals that I get. Also, I know dealing with the banks, I know what the banks want, because we got an ex-bank mitigator on our side telling us what the banks are thinking, how they plan it, what they do, their formulas, and everything they do. So it's really easy for us to slide through on these deals. Now, every deal is not payday on every deal, no. But, again, the ones that are payday take care of it. I mean, a huge check. I mean, six-figure incomes
So Hunter, Chris from Tampa, you're saying that if you're a beginner, you don't have any money, and you invest in the knowledge that short sales is the easiest way, easier than the mobile home business for a beginner to get involved in the real estate industry.
There's so many moving parts. There's got to be so many moving parts. And I know Doug, and I love Doug, you know, but there's so many moving parts in the mobile home business, I would see and think that there's got to be done. In short sales, there's only a couple things you got to do and know and hammer out, and that's it. You can actually, somebody's new, brand new coming in, you can walk out your door, flap your lips, and tell you that, hey, I'm a short sale person, or I buy real estate, and I deal in foreclosures. You're going to go to work. We were at an event in Jacksonville. And a gentleman says, yeah, I work for Johnson & Johnson. He goes, and there's about six or seven people I know right now in my office building that are in foreclosure. And here's another true story. It just hit me. Today, a guy came in our office. I got a big sign on the front of my office that says, we buy houses cash. He walks in, and he's trying to sell a copier to my assistant, one of my personal assistants. And I was in there. I was in my office getting ready for this event. And I come out, and I said, what's going on? She goes, this guy come in and wants to sell us this copier. And I said, well, we need a copier. She goes, yeah, that one over there is as dark as I am. She's from Jamaica. She goes, yeah, that one over there, meaning that it's old, you know, and Hunter's a little tight sometimes. But anyway, she said that, you know what, I'm in here, and, you know, it just so happens, I saw your sign on the front of your building. He goes, you know, I'm a couple payments behind on my house. So it's real easy to find people. You don't even have to market. You don't even have to do no marketing costs. I mean, to find a mobile home park or find mobile homes for sale. I mean, there's got to be some marketing, some techniques that you got to spend money on to find. With foreclosures, you can stumble your way down the street and fall over and fall into them and just contact the seller of the property and tell them, hey, look, I can help you out. I can stop, you know, I can do you a better service.
Fall into them because why, they're in such bad shape or what?
No, they don't have to be in bad shape. I mean, there's properties that are brand new. We're short selling brand new spanking homes, brand new homes. Banks are taking a hit. And people are wanting those brand new homes because they feel it's a deal.
With the short sales, do you have a software that makes it easier to do it because of the paperwork involved? Is there a software that you use that's easy to use where you could just fill in the fields and auto-populates the entire short sale for you? Or
yeah,
is there anything
yeah.
like that out there?
Yeah, we got an auto-fill forms for documentations and everything that we have, and then the tracking logs for the talking to the banks. You have to keep up, know who you're talking to, when you talk to them. The people who are smart and know, because if you show the bank that you're on target, that you know what you're talking about, and meaning what I say about knowing what you're talking about is just knowing when was the last time I talked to Ted at the Bank of America. You know, when was the last time I talked to Tina at Wells Fargo? Or when was the last time I talked to Karen at Countrywide? You know, and you know those dates and times when they call or when you call them and they talk and you're talking to them and you're selling, you're going over your notes. We do. We have a web-based program that we use to track all the deals. We're working over 200 deals at a time right now with our students involved in our mitigating. So we do. We have something that tracks. We have, we know when to call. We know what formulas to use. I mean, a lot of people say, and that was one of your questions, was a formula or what would you do? You know, the formula we use, we just look at the market. You pull a couple comps. and you offer a property, you offer it 50 to 55% of the value of that property, the bank's going to tell you no right out of the gate. We know that. We just want to see where they're at. That's how we do it. And it's really simple. It's not really that hard. People make foreclosure short sales seem to be really hard. Oh, it takes a long time. We can guarantee it's about, at the most, 20 hours in a deal. And that's probably putting it kind of high. And that's on the phone talking to somebody. And a lot of times you don't even have to do it yourself. And bankers, and that's another thing. People think that the mitigators are some bad, mean people. And they're not. They're people just like you and I, just like Doug and I.
Let me ask Doug this. Doug, have you ever done a short sale or dealt with a mitigator? And is what Hunter's saying correct, that it's not as tough as people say it is?
You know what? I hear some people are born under a lucky star. We've tried, and that's the thing, you know, we've tried two or three different kinds of short sales, dealing with banks, and, you know, they always say experience is what you get when you didn't get what you wanted. And you know, I'm still dealing with some of these houses that I got a lot of money stuck into. And, you know, quite frankly, I could have turned that and, you know, maybe I didn't do it the right way. Maybe we didn't do it, you know, exactly the way Hunter does it. But you know what? There's a lot of people out there that for some reason they just don't get it. And to me, that sounds like a lot of work. You know, basically we just don't like to do that kind of work and we just make it much easier to have the money work for us instead. I kind of like
that.
Hey,
Doug, when you were first starting out, how long would it take you to wrap up a mobile home, just a single mobile home unit from start to finish? A
couple hours.
You'd have the deal done, paperwork signed, and a couple hours you'd have your deal ready.
And that's one of the nice things about it. You know, it's like, I got to say, you know, when I first started, which wasn't all that long ago, about 15 years ago, you know, we were still at a point where, you know, you can walk into someone's house, and I know that Hunter and me and you all can probably still do this, but sit down at someone's kitchen table and fill out some paperwork and not have to worry about all of these other people getting involved in the deal. You know, in fact, we can still do that today. We can go in someone's house, we can sign the paperwork, take them over to the bank, we can get them a cashier's check, because you're not talking about a whole lot of money. And, you know, as far as finding buyers, yeah, in the beginning, we had to do a little bit of work. You know, we had to put some flyers out. We had to do some things like that. But, you know, after you've been in business for a year or two, a funny thing happens. When you start treating people right, especially people that no one else will give the time of day to, when you start treating them the way that you would want to be treated if you're in that situation, you know, amazing things happen. They've got cousins, they've got brothers, they've got moms and dads. In fact, not in the same trailer. They all got their own house now. And so, you know, we have built-in clientele. So pretty much for the last probably 12 years or so, we haven't spent a dime on marketing or advertising of any kind. It's all word of mouth.
So, Doug, because you're concentrating on a niche that most people don't, you basically have your own sphere of influence where people come to you with mobile home deals as well as people to put in the mobile homes. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that we really like about this business is we tend to operate a little bit under the radar from most investors because it's so far away from, you know, their normal everyday, you know, whether it's just stubbornness or ignorance. We don't have all that much competition. In fact, you know, we have very little competition in our area. So because of that, yeah, we are the ones. My wife is known, and you're, don't take this the wrong way, but she's the trailer lady.
Trailer lady, there you go. Now I can understand why you don't have any competition in trailers.
It's, you know?
Right there, case in point.
That's below the belt, boys.
And I love Anna just like I do Doug, but no, what I was talking about was they don't have any competition because there's nobody wants to go after that market. And so if that's good for Doug and that's making them a lovely living, that's awesome. We do have a lot of competition, you know. And I'm going to read right from Doug's bottom of Doug's email, and I love this, you know, and I love Doug's mindset. It says, change your world by changing your mind. And I say change your mindset, and that's what that means. And what I did, I went from $30,000 homes, from mobile homes, and I just shifted. I just shifted the paradigm a little bit to $1 million homes. You know, I used to be afraid to call people that had a $1 million home, because I didn't know what to say to them. Because you know why? I came from a trailer. You know, I came from a mobile home. I came from, you know, when I was coming up the ranks here, you know, to get into a home and rental and rent and all that. So the first time when I started talking to this person, and Doug said earlier on the call, it's people to people, and don't forget that, because that's what it's all about. It's all about people to people and who you're dealing with in an everyday environment, the janitor, the maid, whoever you're dealing with, and I believe in that wholeheartedly myself, all the way up the ladder. But I do, too, know that people in million-dollar homes and in high-end homes have the same problems as all of us do. They're just a little bit more quality problems. So if you can solve and help them get through that issue and see that they can have help, that they have somebody that can help them, because, you know, they're in a whirlwind, that's why we're so connected, that's why we're so good, that's why I'm so good at talking with people and dealing with people in these situations, number one, to get them on the team. And Doug was talking about all the relatives and everybody else helping out. Guess what? There's a lot of people in foreclosure, the Spanish market, just a lot of people in foreclosure. When somebody helps somebody out in our industry, for me, I know I've got people that bring me properties back or bring me properties that that their friends or mothers, and I mean, we get referrals all the time. It's unbelievable. I've actually, this year, I've sold houses 2 to 3 years ago to people that bought the houses and bought them right, but some reason or another, their life went down the tubes, because that's just the way their way of living is, went down the tubes. I got to get those houses back and short sale them again and make money on the property again.
Yeah, we call those things the gifts that keep on giving.
That's
well, hold on, guys. Let me ask you this: which field, mobile homes or short sales, has more headaches dealing with the people? In other words, which field are you dealing with more of a satisfied customer? Is it the short sales or mobile homes?
Short sales.
Mobile homes, absolutely, all the way.
Why? The headaches are. I mean, short sales. And everybody, and that's the whole thing. It's mindset. And you know, and here's the thing, short sales, and here's, and I'm going to be really honest about this, short sales is a negative deal, ultimately. Somebody's losing their house. The bank's losing the money. And then when you come in from the other side and you're not in there, because remember, I was in a foreclosure, so that was a negative, you know, that because of my way of life. When I was in that way of life, that's why I was losing the house. It wasn't because I wasn't getting paid and all, that was my lifestyle. So when people get into trouble and they have this thing going on, this turmoil, this tornado, this hurricane going on in their life, and somebody comes in and shows them, you know, different ways and they can handle it, like a person like me, I mean, you just know. I mean, for me, I know, and that's what we teach, what have the compassion for the people and just let them know. Show them the options. Play the tape. Show them the down the road what's going to happen. Go ahead and turn up the pain a little bit just to show them really reality. We show them reality. We teach our students to show reality to these people, and really it doesn't take that. I mean, after that, it's pretty much done deal, because they realize, they know, if they can't save their home, and number one, that's what we try to do. If somebody can save their home, we will do that. We will help them save their home with a forbearance, loan modification. We will do that. But unfortunately, the people have got so deep, like Doug said earlier on the call, stupid people did stupid things, and stupid banks helped them do it. And that's
yeah,
why
you know,
the industry is the way it is.
Part of that whole thing, you know, you got a family that needs to move and do whatever they need to do, and no one will buy their mobile. There's not a lot of people that have the cash to do that. All of a sudden, you know, you're the king in that marketplace. And when you're able to, you know, come in, take care of one family, help them get out, move on, go about their business, and then be the solution for someone else's problem because they don't have enough cash to get into a regular, you know, to a house. They don't have anyone that would even take a chance on those folks. We can do it because, hey, it is our money up front, because that's the kind of business I run now. I don't ask people to make an investment. I tell people, make me a loan, because I've already got my money in it, you know, because we've made our money. We put our cash back out into our city, into our local community, and our investors then come, they make our company a loan, and we're kind of in the middle. We're just like that bank. You know, we're taking a piece of the action for keeping the cash flow circulating. And one of the great things about this is once you get your, like I said, you get this thing set up, it's like a conveyor belt. And there is a lot of money out there, and a lot of money that likes to do good, you know, make money by doing well, I always say. And it's a great thing for local investors, too, because they can get in their car and they can drive down the street and they can actually park, get out, put their finger on a piece of something that's real and say, you know, that's where my money is. Because, you know, for years, a lot of people have been talking about a return on their investment, and they stopped and they forgot about a return of their investment, and that's coming home to roost right now. But, you know, since 1999, when we first started doing this, we've had hundreds of deals pass across our desk. We have never, ever, and I'm knocking on the genuine simulated vinyl panel in here on the wall in my mobile home command central. We've never had to go to court. We've never repossessed house number one. The people that we do business with are so thankful that they've had someone that would do business with them. They usually come by the office. If something happens to them, they're like, you know, here's the keys. We shampooed the carpets. You know, of course, we've had a few that weren't that way. But for the most part, they've cleaned them out.
This is an honest call. This is an honest call. You're telling me that when you have to take a mobile home back, they bring you the keys and shampoo the carpets?
I've had that happen, absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Because you think about it. If your mom and dad live in the house next door.
Well, hey, guys, this is Mike in Colorado. Hunter, I got an email here from Robert in Florida. Robert says he bought a mobile home a couple years ago, and he bought it for $92,000. Because he buys it with land, so he's not actually buying it in trailer parks or anything like that. So he actually buys the land. Bought it for $92,000. It's recently appraised at $280,000. And Hunter, here's his comment to you, and I'm going to read this word for word. Okay?
Cool.
It says Hunter is hunting for his brain. Also, there are nudist clubs here in Florida. Some of these units are going for $700,000+. The Caliente Resort and the Paradise Lake Resort. Where he worked at those places, so they actually go pretty darn well. You got any comments about that?
Did you say nudist?
He's working in a nudist club?
Well, he said there's some of these parks, I guess, that have nudist clubs, and they rent for a little bit higher. What do you guys think about renting homes in those places? Get a little top dollar.
Yeah, you know, my sister was playing in a band of her boyfriend's one day down at Kissimmee, so he must be talking about the Kissimmee area down there. That has a nudist colony, and he calls me up, or my sister calls me up and goes, hey, is your wife around? And I said, yeah, she's right here with me. She goes, oh, I was just wondering, because I just saw somebody in a nudist colony here looked just like her. And I was just sure your wife went out in the nudist joint. And I said, no, my wife's with me, and I don't think my wife would be doing that. But, you know, this guy, what was the comment about my brain?
Was that you're hunting for your brain.
Hunting for the brain.
Right,
hunting
because
for the brain.
Actually, a previous email here. I'll read this one to you. No, he is full of shiitake mushrooms.
Yeah.
And he's talking out his butt and has no clue.
Really?
That's
that
what he said, because you're only talking about trailer parks is what he says. You're not talking about any kind of, and you know, you're talking about trailer homes specifically. You're not mentioning anything about land because there's a lot more value when you buy a mobile home and it has land.
This is true. Well, can I jump in on that for just a sec?
Sure.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, you know, there is. And one of the things that most people, that's a great point, because most people don't realize that. There's a lot of land out there that folks have bought, carved up, and put manufactured homes on it. In fact, those are, in our area, what we term, you know, mostly those are our keepers. Because, you know, a couple years ago, I got a phone call from a realtor, and this is just one example of several. You know, you get that phone call, and they say, hey, Doug, you have to come see this. What do? You grab your pen, you grab a contract, and you grab your checkbook, and you go. And this was like almost a five-acre piece outside of town, not that far. Some guy had put in like four mobile homes, and it was a bank foreclosure, so it was vacant, no one living in it, didn't have to deal with anybody, found private money, bought the thing for cash, took it down to the bank, paid $109,000 for it, and it appraised at a little over $200,000. We tore down one of those nasty old, because it was a nasty old mobile home. The other three were decent, including a five-bedroom, four-bath, double-wide on a permanent foundation. All three of those things rent for a little over $2,000 a month, and I now have about a $70,000 first on that, with a line of credit for the difference.
Okay, hey guys, we just opened up the wild card line, so
awesome.
If you have any callers on the wild card line, you could come in loud and clear. But before we do that, Tony Wiley
Before we do that, I just want to make a comment. The guy said Hunter's hunting for his brains. We're having an event down here at Colonial Drive in Orlando, Florida, or the Crown Plaza at I-4 and 50. Tell that guy he can come down here tomorrow for free or Saturday and stay and hang out for a little bit and see you. Tell him to come see me. I'm going to be on the stage speaking tomorrow with Kimberly Frank. Tell him to come see me in person. I'll let him come for a few hours for free just to let him get a little bit of taste of what's going on in the industry of foreclosures. And I want to comment on, I said earlier on the call that I short sell mobile homes to million-dollar homes. I short sell the mobile home in Daytona Beach. It had three mortgages on it down to $23,000. I got it now. I'm doing like Doug. I'm the bank because I did fund that personally. I funded it because no bank would, so I had to fund it. It's on its own dirt. I never said I wouldn't buy anything on its own dirt. I own about five mobile homes, and they all have
Now the truth comes out. Yeah.
I short sale. It's a short sale, but I'm not making six figures on those deals. I'm making six figures on the deals that I'm doing on the hiring homes. I found out it's just as easy to short sale a $1 million home as it is a mobile home. That's
okay, guys. I do have some feedback from Tony Wiley. He has emailed in to us, and he says both of these guys are selling the American dream. And dreamers sometimes overlook the reality and risk searching for the dream. How many people can afford to pay real prices on these dream deals that are being offered? I guess he's not from the investment side. He figures you guys are selling an American dream. In other words, this is not reality.
You know, this is Hunter. I bought the American dream, you know, some years ago. I told you I went full-time, like Doug said. He's been at 15 years. I bought the American dream because, you know, I was working for my father 12 to 15 hours a day, making $300 a week, bring home money. And I said, you know, this is way too hard. And I loved what I was doing. Don't get me wrong. But I knew when I looked at my father and he was sitting at that desk, and I said, man, I knew that he was taking money from my mom's retirement money, which he'd been at the phone company for 25 years. And I knew my father was paying me with my mom's retirement money. I said, something's got to change. This isn't right. This isn't any good. We're taking good money and throwing over bad money. And when I started finding out, when I read a few books, Creating Wealth, Nothing Down, Challenge from Robert Allen, and I started reading those books and understanding what real estate can do for you, it's the biggest. I don't care if you're buying mobile homes, if you're buying million-dollar homes, I don't care if you're short selling or subject twos or whatever, because there's a million ways to make $1 million in real estate. And I can tell you what, that gentleman needs to take a good look at, you know, he needs to hang around with some different people. Because
yeah, just so you know, Hunter, that gentleman, he's in the Democratic Party. I don't know if that makes any difference.
Well, those are people that think of Volvo's something from a woman's anatomy, so, you know.
That was funny.
You know, seriously,
Doug is good.
Whoever said that, you know, I got to tell you, I deal with people, you know, the value of their car goes up and down depending on how much gas they have in it, all right? That's who I'm helping achieve the American dream.
Yeah.
Wow,
so
I know that hurts.
I don't know what we're talking about here on the wild card.
Yeah, well, we're waiting for Bert. I believe we had Bert on the line, but I think we lost him. He was on the wild card line, and we're waiting
Scared
for him
the hell
to
out of him.
Yeah, I think so. I think the two of you, between the Hunter and the Otter, he didn't know where to start, and he got off the line.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of things, you know, and Doug knows as well as I do, because it's right here in Doug. You know, I'm, again, looking at Doug's bottom of his email. It says, change your world by changing your mind. And I have a saying that I just came up with not long ago. What comes out of your mouth goes into your pocket. So, and who you hang out with, I mean, that's the thing, and you have to change it. You know, I used to be, you know, I'm a recovering addict, so I know what the hell was like before and how it lived. You know, I was in the hell of the life, and I know that I had to change my mind, crawl out of that hole, hang out with people that are really doing something and changing their lives and doing something for people. And I know Doug and me both give to people, give to charities, and are able to do that because of the money we're making. So, you know, the American dream's there. It's there if you want. It's there for the taking. I mean, Mike knows it. Mike Warren knows it. I've seen what he's done in his life and his business. And, Chris, I don't know you that well, but, you know, I know it's there. You're doing this call right now. You're helping people out by having this call. I think it's awesome. And that's the thing. I mean, you got to change your mind. You know, that's it.
Hey, Mike, do you have anything to add, buddy?
Well, actually, I did. I just got a reply back from Robert there in Florida. Robert said, you know, thanks for the offer. He'll think about it, but... he did have one other comment, and he said that He lives 1 mile from the coast, and at least his will float. So I don't know if you want to say anything about that or not.
It'll float. It'll float if it don't go up. It'll float if it don't go up in the air.
No. I got to tell you one thing. It is, you know, you hear about mobile homes with tornado magnets. But I got to tell you, when your house or your mobile or your car or whatever is in front of a Category 5 or an F5, you're going down, buddy.
I'd rather be in a house.
So much better
than a mobile home.
Man, I wouldn't even be in the neighborhood.
Well, there you go.
I'd be
gone. Hang out in Mexico. I'll just come over to Doug's. I'll fly into Mexico.
Doug, where are you located? Most of your mobile homes in Roswell with all the UFOs out there?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we're up in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Santa Fe and Albuquerque.
There you go.
Well, there you go.
But, you know, it's one of the challenges, and I can see why a lot of people might have some of those ideas, because it's like 99% of most real estate investors give the rest of us a bad name. And, you know, especially when it has to come with foreclosures and,
hey,
and
Doug,
short sales. Because
I don't appreciate you saying that about Hunter, by the way.
Well, you know, half the people in the world are below average, so come on.
Well, you know, actually, I got another email. Robert is following back up saying, actually, in his area, manufactured homes, mobile homes, are essentially priced the same as block homes. Doug, is that true from your perspective? And
It can be. It would be on the lower end. In my area, that median housing price comes in, let's say, right around $300,000. That's the median. Now, on the lower entry level, you know, I have land home deals that I bought a while ago. I bought them foreclosure again. I paid probably $50,000-$60,000 for them. They're now worth $150,000-$160,000. So, yeah.
Guys, I think we have someone on the wild card line. Tony Wiley, I believe you hail originally from Tennessee. Tony, are you on the line?
I'm on.
No.
How are you doing, Chris?
Any comments, Tony, on what you've been hearing?
I love the argument. Again, I sent a message earlier to both guys.
We read it.
The reason that had to do with the American dream. The reason why I ask is because we all know the economic times right now, and even rich people are having a rough time right now. So both of these young men are trying to sell this dream to people of owning their own home, owning their own property, things of that sort. What happens when you have the dream hit the reality? Okay, yes, it may be cheaper than it was 6 months ago, but it's still too expensive for me to afford. How do you handle that?
That's not my reality. I don't choose to believe all the crap that the news media wants to hypnotize everybody with. That's not the world I live in.
I'm not talking about what you believe. I'm talking about what the people that are trying to buy your house believe.
They don't believe it either because they're buying my houses.
So
I think Tony, what
everybody
saying,
that comes to you can afford to buy your house.
Most people that come to me can afford to buy my house. Absolutely.
The one thing that the other gentleman about the trailer is saying is,
well, you're talking to Doug is the trailer.
Things to work.
Yeah, Doug is the guy with the mobile home that's responding to you. You're trying to speak to Hunter with the short sale. Hunter,
Chris?
Do you want to respond to Tony?
I was letting Doug finish up with whatever he's got to talk about. Was he responding to me about the home?
I think he was trying to talk. He thought Doug was you, by the way.
Okay, well, I can respond to that. I mean, I don't know if he's acts like he's talking about his personal vendetta.
Oh, no, not my personal situation.
Oh, okay.
But I'm just saying I know people, and I've seen people really get hammered in this situation where they are just sold like snake oil salesmen are coming along. I have this house, and I can just do you this great job and this, that, the other, and they buy it hook, line, and sinker. Because what does everybody want? Everybody wants a home. Everybody wants that beautiful piece of land. And then 6 months later, when that variable rate goes from 8% to 22%, all of a sudden they're sitting like, oh, my God, what just happened to me?
And they're living under a bridge.
Hey, guys, this is Bert Lintecombe. He's on the other wild card who called in. Bert, welcome to the show.
And I'm sorry I tuned in late. I was working late tonight. But I'll tell you what, all this is built on a house of cards, guys. Fiat money, free and easy debt. The dollar is plunging. Watch out. home values are going to continue to plunge, especially here in Florida. We have the highest foreclosure rate in the nation, followed by California. Housing prices are going to go down another 20 to possibly 50%, and that's if the depression holds off for a while. We are facing an economic
meltdown. Give me 1 second. Just for I'm gonna bring this over to Doug and Hunter. Just for people listening, we've actually had a record just south of a few thousand listening to this call. What I want to bring up to Doug and Hunter, is it possible, because these two gentlemen obviously feel that we are in a recession or a depression, is it possible to make money in the financial times of today? You guys, Doug or Hunter could answer.
Yes. This is Hunter. You know, I don't care, you know, the market. If you go back to the 1920s from the Great Depression and you follow and you track the curves and the swings and the pendulum, you're going to see that it goes one way and comes back and it corrects itself. Right now it's in a correction stage. And I can tell you, and talking about the depression and the houses are going to go down another 20%, I personally feel that we're seeing the bottom. We're seeing the bottom where the market's going to hit. And another 50% or 20% below, it's not going to happen. There's no way. Look at the corrections. I mean, we hang out with people. We're on the line with people we know have been in this swing multiple times. And nobody's got a crystal ball. Nobody can tell exactly, you know. But I know this, that I know in the 96, 93, the 80s, I've seen the swing. You know, I've seen it happen. I've been in the industry, you know, since 1996 full-time. And this is the worst. This is the worst that I've been in. But I can tell you this: people are still buying homes. People are still doing deals. People are still spending money.
And Hunter, I want to switch it over to Doug because we're running out of time. Doug, in your the corollary for you, you deal with mobile homes. Does this actually impact you positively in your business?
It impacts me positively because all the people that should have never bought houses in the first place were some of my best clients right here. And, you know, you ask about can you make money in this. All money, not all money, but a great deal of money is made by not doing what the crowd does. Just look at Oliver Goldsmith, you know, that's what he said. I see a crowd, I run the other way. This is the time when smart people are going to be making money. One of the things that makes me sleep really, really good at night is we don't sell anything that's more than $25,000 to $30,000. I don't care where you're living in the United States of America. You know, if you can't find a job that's going to be paying $300 to $800 for a home every month, you know, God help us. But that's pretty much what my customers pay: $300 to $400 on their home, and maybe $400, less than $1,000 a month, they're building equity in something and living in a nice lifestyle. So, you know, we don't have that. I don't care what the economy is doing out there because it doesn't affect us.
So, okay, let me one last question to Bert, and then I'd like to wrap this up because we're going long and we got quite a few people on this call. Bert, is the economy going to affect these two gentlemen and their business? Or are they just going to make more money?
It's going to affect everybody. Now, the mobile home guy actually has a pretty good point. People have to live somewhere other than under a bridge. And I advise everyone, be careful. Save money. Convert it to hard assets. Gold and silver. Real estate's going to plunge. Watch out. You got to have a place to live. So going cheap at this point, I think, is really the way to go. And you could talk to a lot of people that got into expensive homes, all debt, and they're crashing and burning all around us. Sure, there's always somebody going to make money, but you're competing with some pretty sharp characters out there when you start wheeling and dealing in real estate. And most people get their butts handed to them.
All right, guys, this is how we wrap up the show. Tony, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Tony is going to award Sammy the Bear. He is our prize that we will award to the winner of the debate. In order for him to do that, you each have 2 minutes to convince him why your system and your process is a more equitable and profitable system for the homeowner. Tony is someone looking to land somewhere, let's say. Pretend like he's your customer. How would you convince him that you have the best place or the best place for him to come to you and do business with you? Hunter?
Yes. Hey, Tony, how you doing today?
Good.
Glad to meet you, and glad you're on the call. number one, the reason that I feel that we have the best industry, the best market out there is because we can provide any market, like the other person said on the call, you're dealing with low-end homes. We can do mobile homes to million-dollar homes, so we can attract any and all people, like the gentleman said on the call earlier. Our thing is a non-risk. Our product is non-risk, no risk. The only risk you take is a few hours on the phone, and you have people coming in buying. If you choose to purchase the properties or mobile homes or homes after you've negotiated the debt on the property, then you can do so. And also, if you want to have a cash flow with that, you can. But if you want to just wholesale things, you can do that. Like I said earlier, I have mobile homes that I've bought, and I have people in them that are under $100,000. So ours is easy. It's a step-by-step system that we have produced, shows exactly how to do what we do, talking to people. It's a people-to-people business. You don't buy real estate from the home or the house. You have to have an individual involved. And if you understand that process and you have the mindset, and you can get through the trying times with people's turmoil and whatnot, and let them know that there's a future on the other side, then it's a better place to be. So,
Doug.
Well, you know, hey Tony, if you're the kind of person that likes to create, you know, quick cash, easy, short term, and also get it to the point where you have build up some long term passive cash flow with your cash working for you, so that you don't have to, regardless of, you know, what kind of cash you got right now, any credit or experience, we can show you how to get started in that really easy. And especially if you're the kind of guy that likes control of your own destiny, if you don't like to deal with arguing with appraisers or, you know, title companies or all that kind of stuff, you'll have very little competition in this business. In fact, when you get involved in it, you find out that when you own your own town, you've got no competition whatsoever.
So, Tony, if you had to choose on an investment strategy, would you choose Hunter or would you choose Doug? Doug went second, Hunter went first.
I'd have to go with Hunter.
Wow, that's a reversal, because that's the short sale.
I'd have to go with Hunter. The reason why I'd have to go with Hunter is because I've invested in properties before. And when you do rental properties, you're a landlord. It doesn't matter whether they're renting to own or what they're doing. You are a landlord, and when they start tearing your property up, whether they're calling you or you're going out yourself, you are trying to protect your investment. Whereas the guy who just sells that home, once he sells it, he ain't got to touch it no more.
You're right. That's exactly what we do.
Amen, brother.
Hunter, would you want to give a victory speech here?
Yes, sir. I appreciate Tony your vote there, and you definitely had it correct. And in our industry, making six-figure income on one deal and working 20 hours, six figures, is the way to go. Yeah, and I appreciate the vote. And, hey, again, I love Doug. I love Doug being on the call, helping me out get to this victory, because it takes two people to have a victory. We're all winners here, though, so you got to remember that. Doug's
well,
a winner,
no, hold on, Hunter, hold on. The hunter killed the otter, so Doug, you know, sorry. Tony, I thought he was going to go for
I did
Doug,
too,
but I guess that's not the way it went today. Thank you both for coming on. For everybody listening, we do this in good fun, but these two gentlemen are in the trenches. They're doing investments. They have passive vehicles coming in. Next time on Millionaire Smackdown, we will be doing the Battle of the Preachers. Prosperity Preacher Coach Pat will be going up against a real street preacher. So it's going to be Prosperity Preacher versus Street Preacher, and
wow,
we'll see who wins out. And that'll be on August 28th, guys. Mike, Mr. Mike Warren, are you still there?
I am still here, Chris. Thanks.
Can you choke your bird there?
No, that's the otter in back of Hunter's house.
I thought that was at Doug's house.
I thought that somebody had a monkey that was loose over there.
I think someone was choking the chicken.
Oh, Chris.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
So, hey, hold on. What I'd like to do is, hey, guys, if you could call back on this line again in just 2 minutes, Mike and I would like to wrap something up with you, if that's okay with you, Mike.
Yeah, that's cool.
And for everybody listening, have a great night. Thank you, everybody. And, again, Millionaire Smackdown, the only place to hear any kind of debate like this is found on MillionaireSmackdown.com. We'll catch you guys next time, August the 28th. Battle of the Preachers. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks.
Bye.